Our scripture reading this morning is in 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verses 13. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, 13. Brothers and sisters, do not be weary in doing what is right. Here ends our first scripture reading.
Good morning. Technology is wonderful when it works. And when you know how to work it. Then besides technology being wonderful, little things like eyeglasses are too. They're even more wonderful than technology. It is good to be here on this morning. Many of you met a few weeks ago when I was here on a Wednesday night, and it was wonderful to meet you then, and it's wonderful to be in worship on today. And as we do some work and want to work around the theme of now us, the very end of the passage in Thessalonians said, do not be weary in doing what is right. And the truth of the matter is that even though we are the body of the Christ, even though we're God's people, even though we know that God is all around us, and how much God loves us. As we seek to live for God, the truth is that sometimes we do get weary. But if we get weary, that means some of the work that God has to do in the world doesn't get done. If we give up hope, that means some of the salt that's needed in the world doesn't get salted. And so this letter, as Paul was writing to the church at Thessalonica, he wanted to encourage them to not be weary, because they were the ones in their time that needed to make a difference. And just like they were the ones in their time that needed to make a difference, we're the ones in our time that need to make a difference. And hence how I got to this title called Now Us. It would always be wonderful if there was somebody else. And maybe that's not for you, but I know for me, there are often times where I wish there was somebody else to do something, whether that's something simple like doing my laundry or going grocery shopping, or whether it's something big. Every now and then, I just wish there was somebody else who could do it. And we get like that because we do so much. Our lives are so big. Our lives are so vast. There's so much happening. But the truth of the matter is, when it comes to doing some work for the kingdom, we really are the ones to do it. And it's exciting to be able to talk about that on a day like today. It's exciting to talk about it probably any time I have an opportunity. But it's real exciting when it's a congregation's anniversary. When it's a time where you're pausing to think about what has happened before. And 187 years is a powerful witness. 187 years says that there have been generations of people who have been a part of this congregation who have sought to be faithful. They have been the ones in their age who have heard God say something, and they said, yes, God, we'll join you in the great work that you're doing. And when we look back, it's easy to say, well, if they did it, they were the ones who had vision to first say yes to God. They're the ones who were there in the first 25 years. We're really grateful for what they did. They were here in year 50. They were here at the 100th anniversary. They were here when we celebrated 125. They were here when we celebrated 150. It's always good to look at that and to lift up what they did as they sought to live faithfully. But the wonderful thing about God is that God doesn't have grandchildren. Nieces, nephews, godchildren, cousins. For God, every generation are God's children. And so we can't live on what happened in our past. Even though we can be grateful for it, we can't live. We're the ones who are called right now to do the kind of work that others will want to say now, want to say, look what they did. There's a song that you might know. It says, we're pilgrims on the journey, on the narrow road, and those who've come before us line the way, cheering on the faithful, encouraging the weary, Their lives are staring testimony, testament to God's sustaining grace. Surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us run the race not only for the prize, but as those who've gone before us, let us leave to those behind us the heritage of faithfulness passed on through godly lives. Oh, may all who come behind us find us faithful. May the fire of our devotion light their way. May the footprints that we leave lead them to believe, and the lives we live inspire them to obey. Oh, may all who come behind us find us faithful. And that's why it's now us. It's now us who need to do the work. And the work we're called to do is long haul work. It's work that doesn't happen quickly. It's work that doesn't have an easy response. It's work that sometimes the intensity seems great, but it's work that we can't be weary in well doing. It's the work of helping the kingdom look like God's kingdom. As the dancers were dancing, they were dancing to the song, "They'll Know Who We Are, They'll Know We're Christians by Our Love." And so one of the things that we remember as we realize it's now us is that we have the opportunity to have a radical kind of love that loves the world into new life. That we love people with that long-suffering kind of love. That we love people with the way that we're able to love them in spite of the situation they might be in or the actions they may have contributed. That we become the kind of people as the body of Christ who are able to meet people where they are and to help them walk toward new life. That kind of work is hard work. That's the kind of work that sometimes we can get weary in. But that's the kind of work that we are called to do because we want everybody to know the God who is the Jesus who is our Savior and the God who created the world. I believe that Paul, as he was writing to the church, he was helping them to understand at a time where for them, making the decision to follow after Christ really wasn't easy. They were making a decision that was counterculture. They was making a decision that had others wondering, why were they following these strange practices? For us, that's not the case. It's easy for us, especially in the United States, to say that we're Christians. We don't get persecuted for that. But at that time, people did. And even today, we have sisters and brothers in other nations where if they are outward about their faith, they too can face persecution. But as they face the persecution in the church in Thessalonica just for being Christian, we might find it hard if we try to love the way we're called to love. If we try to be the place that people are known, that our actions are known by our love. If we try to reach out to homeless, if we try to reach out to those who've been in prison, if we try to reach out to those who are in stressful situations, if we try to stand up with a different word than our culture, it may not be easy for us, but that's what we're called to do. And you've been working at that for 187 years. When I looked at your mission statement, there are phrases in it that say that you are wanting to be those kinds of persons. Your testimony by what is written is that you want to be known as that group of people who have a radical faith, the kind of radical faith that is different than the world, not the kind of radical faith that necessarily is burning flags and out doing all kind of outward things, but the kind of radical faith that is full of Christian love, the kind of radical faith who says, who is my neighbor? The whole world is my neighbor. There's no one who's not my neighbor. The kind of radical faith that says all are welcome in the body of Christ. That's radical because it's different than what the world believes. We live in a world that really wants to be sort of narrow and it's pull yourself up by your bootstraps and take care of your own. But we serve a God who says, no, we're going to be different than that. We're going to believe that there's room for all. We're going to believe that God loves everybody. And not only are we going to believe it, but we're going to live it. And I imagine that as you do the work, every now and then, you're going to say, why us? But the truth might be, why not you? Why not First Presbyterian be the congregation that's helping folk come to newness, new life in Christ? Why not be the folk who have learned to love the least in society? Why not be the folk who are working so that there can be justice for all? Why not be the folk who live believing that God loves the whole world? Why not be the generation of folk who seek to respond to God in radical new ways? I recently saw the movie Harriet. It's the story of Harriet Tubman. And she was born, as many of you well know, on the eastern shore of Maryland and escaped for freedom. But one of the pieces in the story that hit me is not just her journey, as powerful as it was, but with the people who helped her on the journey. And the people who were just ordinary people, but who took the risk to help her. The scene in which there is a farmer, and he is a part of what was then the Underground Railroad. And she had been linked, and as she got there, he hid her in the bottom of a wagon with hay over it to take her to the next space. He was a person whose name wasn't known, whose story we don't know, but he took the risk to help somebody who was seeking to help themselves. And as I watched the story, it reminded me of a place that I had visited a couple years in Philadelphia. It's called the Johnson House. And the Johnson House is one of the last Underground Railroad stations in the Philadelphia area, at least, that is still open to the public, that the public is able to go in. And what impressed me when I was there visiting was the fact that this was a family home. This was a home of a family who had a farm, who were raising their children, who in many ways were just everyday folk. But somewhere along the line that they had heard about this work and they had joined in this work. But joining in this work had meant for them that some of their own family members no longer associated with them. But they still took the risk of being a place where people could be hidden for a short time as they moved to the next station. And in Philadelphia, it's in the Germantown section. It's on a corner of what's Washington Lane and Germantown area. But at the time in which it was used as a station, across the street from it, on the same side of it, was a business that built coffins. Coffins. It built coffins. That's what it did. And catacorner to where it was a hotel. And the hotel, because it was a hotel, often had people coming, and often there were servants in the area who worked. So the fact that there were people, servants in the area who were African-American, it didn't make it unusual for there to be someone there. The Johnsons were Euro-American. They were Quakers. The building across where the coffins were made. That person really didn't care a whole lot about this Underground Railroad stuff. Wasn't really interested, wasn't trying to help. But it was a neighbor. He knew the Johnsons. They were friends. And what happens when we're doing the work is sometimes even folk who don't believe get involved because we have built relationships with them. And because they had built relationships, that person began to participate because he would allow his empty coffins to be used so they could hide somebody in them and would drive them up Germantown all the way into now what's Plymouth Meeting, but at Butler Pike where the next station was. What it says is that when we do the work, we influence others. When we do the work, we help others to know and to see what a difference can be. So all I've been trying to say this morning is it's now us. It's now our opportunity to recommit ourselves
It's now our opportunity to let the world know that there can be a different world. The world can be a loving place. The world can be a caring place. All we have to do is say, God, show us how you would use us. And how God will use you will be unique to you. There'll be some things that God calls a whole community to do, the whole congregation to work on, that you will join collectively. But there will also be some things that God calls you to commit yourself to individually based on your gifts and talents. Some will be in areas of civil rights. Some might be in areas of teaching. Some might be in areas of recycling, environmental care. Some might be in areas of working with those who have been incarcerated to help them come to new life. Some might be looking at how do you help schools be places that are encouraging. There is so much work that's needed in our world that it needs all of us to use our gifts. So now us. Now let us be the folk who want to create the kinds of communities that help others to want to know something else about Christ. There's an old spiritual that says, walk together, children, don't you get weary. Walk together, children, don't you get weary. Walk together, children, don't you get weary. There's a great camp meeting in the promised land. The course says we're going to walk and never tire. We're going to walk and never tire. We're going to walk and never tire because there's a great camp meeting in the promised land. Yes, you celebrate 187 years, but it ought to be your desire that one day this congregation will celebrate 287. And maybe if Christ has not returned, there'll be a time where they celebrate 387. That'll only happen if now we know it's us who have to continue the work. And if we have a determination to not get weary, to not give up, to not get tired, but to keep walking together and working together for the building of God's kingdom. Let us pray. God, we thank you for the years that this congregation has given witness to your power and your glory. But we also give you thanks for the season in which they are right now and the opportunities that are around them to be the salt, light, and leaven that the world is in need of. So help us not to get weary now that we are the generation that you are seeking to use to let the world know there is new life in Christ. Empower them afresh that they may even the more be what you would have them to be as they seek to follow you and serve you in this community. We ask it in the matchless name of Jesus the Christ. Amen.